Hello and welcome to the all new Coach Ed Conversations podcast series from Growth Coaching International. My name is Richard Reid, and it will be my absolute pleasure and joy to co-host this series of episodes alongside one of our directors, Dan Steen. Before we jump into the what of Coach Ed Conversations, we'll start with the who and have some introductions. Some of you will recognize me as the host of our regular coaching and education podcast series. And you'd be right, I'm based in County Down in Northern Ireland, and I've been coaching since round about 2008. And I've had the pleasure of working with GCI as a senior consultant for the past probably 3 or 4 years. And I'm excited to co-host this new podcast series with Dan. On that note, and tell us a little bit about Dan Steen.
My gosh, well, I don't have the dulcet tones of Richard Reid, but I tell you what, everyone. So I am Dan Steele, a previous assistant principal working across independent, state and Catholic systems in school. Coaching since 2008, Richard. I feel like that's incredible. I've been formally coaching since probably 2015, when I had an incredible principal who actually said, hey, I think we should try out this coaching thing to help our leadership team. And he was wonderful. He actually asked, first of all, to be coached. So I'm not sure if stupidly or bravely put up my hand and said, yeah, I'll do this. And since then, I've been hooked. So now in the role, I've been with Growth Coaching International since 2022. I stepped away from schools then and incredibly just get to coach and work with a whole bunch of different leaders, teachers, system leaders, in the work that I do here, and also sometimes over in North America with some of the work that we do, and also across Asia as we continue to see coaching rapidly expand around the world. So I absolutely love it. And then I get to do the innovation piece, I guess, is things like this, where we're making sure that we're actually serving the needs of the people so that we're never staying stale and we're always making sure that we're doing the right thing and providing the best sort of experience for people. So
yeah.
But I wish I also had a background. I feel like your background here, Richard, for everyone's watching with the video, it looks like you're just living the dream in a sauna, I should say.
You need a sauna over here. I can tell you, it's just, we're currently recording in December time and it's not very warm over here. I can tell you that. And it's all real. It's all real. This is not a fake background. So it's a genuine spot.
I think we know mine's real too, where we've got Santa just sort of, with it being December right now, Santa's
yes.
Lying down. I thought the inflatable Santa being up while we're recording, probably not really professional.
I love it. Folks, if you're listening or if you're viewing, you're in very capable hands. Fantastic. Listen, let's jump into the what of Coach Ed Conversations, a little bit of context, not a bit of background behind why we're doing this. So Coach Ed Conversations essentially is going to be running alongside Coach Ed Update, which is our monthly digital newsletter. Some of you may already be subscribed to that. If you're not subscribed to that, do check out our homepage on the website. There's a join now button sort of as of recording this today. Check that out if you want to subscribe to Coach Ed Update. And alongside that will be our conversation. I suppose to give things a little bit of a boost, something a little bit different. We're going to have fairly informal conversations. That's an important thing to us. But there's going to be a specific topic each time we have a conversation. So Dan and I are going to be sharing our insights, potentially learning with each other, and hopefully you, the listener, the viewer. There will be a structure to the conversation. We're essentially going to look at a particular topic each time, and we're going to answer 3 main questions. So a discovery question, which is essentially going to be, what have we noticed about this particular topic? We're going to then talk about the impact. So why does it matter? What's the point in actually talking about it? Why is it important to us? And then thirdly, we're going to finish up with next steps. So as a result of something we've noticed, something we feel is important, what has become clearer? And hopefully between the two of us, we're going to enlighten each other, and hopefully you, the listener, as well. Now, each topic will be big and broad. We will have a narrow amount of time to talk about it. So we're just going to be, in many ways, I suppose, scratching the surface, but at least getting you started to think about it maybe in a slightly different way. So Dan, what's going to be our topic for this first episode?
Richard, today we're talking about goal setting. So it makes sense, I guess, with the, we talk about that conversational framework, the growth framework. So it probably makes sense that we start with the G, talking through that idea of goal setting. And I think I'm really excited to do this because I don't know about you, but the discovery part, what I've been noticing with goal setting is, especially this year, all the different coaching cycles that I've been doing with middle leaders, senior leaders, some system leaders, when it's worked really well, I mean, there's always a goal or a direction, right? So depending on the client or the person that I'm working with, there's always a goal, something that they're actually wanting to achieve, something they're wanting to get towards. But I've been really thinking about, well, when it's worked at its best, what have I been doing that might have best helped the person? And the thing that I noticed was I just went really slow. I spent a lot longer getting really clear about what it is that they really, really want. And as I say this, this might sound really silly, or for someone listening, they go, yeah, of course, that's what you should be doing. But it was asking things like, so I've been discovering when it's worked really well and the person has shown incredible growth over the period of a cycle. And some cycles have been only 3 months. Some have been over a whole year with multiple coaching sessions. It's always come down to me really finding out what are the benefits, what difference will it actually make to them. I've normally found out something about within the goal, if they're really going to spend the time and the energy and the effort on this, how is it going to benefit them? And then as I get to know people through the first conversation, it's really trying to find out if there's who are the other people around them that the goal could also benefit. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't really met many people yet that don't care about other people when we're coaching them.
Hopefully not.
So for me, I'm really fascinated. What I've been noticing is slowing down, spending the time for me to get really clear about what it is that they want. That helps me then summarize or paraphrase to them what I'm hearing. And then they help me keep working through and checking and understanding it. And a really funny thing happened just 2 weeks ago when I was finishing up a coaching cycle with a leader. I was really excited that we were doing this podcast episode. I told them afterwards that we were talking about goal setting. And they said, yeah, Dan, I was getting bloody annoyed at one point because you kept asking me about the difference and the motivations and who this would help and how it's going to see it and what I can picture, like when it's working really well to get an idea. And they're really action-oriented. So they just wanted to get into the conversation. So they said, but you forced me to slow down and actually get really clear on what it is I wanted. And then because of that, we got clear on what I actually didn't want and what could distract me. And I was blown away. I loved that feedback. So, you know, we're always, so as coaches, it's such a personal thing that we do with people. So when you get feedback, you really love to curate it and note it down. But I love that idea that there was the forced slowness. They got clear on what they wanted, what they also didn't want, and what could distract them. And then they saw this huge growth and huge success. So for me, that's sort of been the thing that I've really discovered, which I've really loved this year when it comes down to goal setting.
Yeah, I love that idea where you talk about go slow and get clear, because we're always under a lot of pressure of time. Even when you come into a coaching conversation, you know you've got a certain window of time, and I know I'm guilty of, I've got to get through this whole process. So that's encouraging to me, Dan, and will be to listeners and viewers, that you're actually thinking through, I need to slow this down. Not just in many ways for the coachee, but you've shown it's actually benefiting you too, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And even if it's all right, just add one more thing. I think it's, you know, you and I, we do our formal coaching, and then we also take this coaching approach to other parts of our life. So I can't help but get involved in lots of areas of my kids' lives too. I mean, like, I volunteer. I don't just force it on them. I should say that. But I get involved in our school council. So the kids' school council where we are. And I've used a similar approach at the start of the year as well for the school council. We got really clear on what it was. If we're going to be putting our time and effort to this, we can't put it to other things. So is this what we actually really want? And then just last week, we had our final school council meeting, and the success and the feeling of pride in that group, all because we got really clear and we were forced to get what is it that we actually want to see that's different? So I just saw there's two sort of things where you've got the formal, and then you might also take this coaching approach to, say, a group or a team setting too. But either way, it was, yeah, getting slow, getting clear, and also being aware of, like, where aren't you putting your energy to?
Yeah, I love that. If you're thinking about that as far as something significant that you've noticed, and I'm so pleased you've shared that one with us, if you were to sum it up, why does it matter? I mean, why do you need to slow down? I mean, why does it matter?
Well, I don't know about you, but life's pretty busy anyway. I mean, I've got three kids, but I think the thing that we know is there's really wide uncertainty. There's a huge amount of change. I mean, we're in the era and the age of AI, so there's this growing uncertainty, growing complexity, constant connection, constant pressure. People can have a perception of being very busy and needing to be on. Perception is reality. So sometimes when we're able to get really clear about what don't we need to be focused on, what's out of our control, what is it that we really want, I think that helps people get clear. Dan Pink in the seminal, you know, that seminal book Drive, is talking about intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic.
Yeah.
You know, the carrot versus the stick. So for me, it's always about if we get it really clear and compelling and they can see it and they've almost felt it, like they've moved into that future where they can really experience the goal happening, they're more likely to actually put time and effort into it instead of just having a lovely chat and then that's it.
Yeah.
So I think, why does it matter? If we slow down and help them get a lot of clarity, they're more likely to actually see some change and momentum towards it too.
Yeah. It matters a lot. What about beyond this then? So what becomes clear, Dan, and it's been a really useful insight that you've shared with us, but what becomes clear for Dan Steele beyond this conversation today?
I think I'm really fascinated right now about, as coaches, us slowing down. We need to slow down so that we can best serve the people around us, because every single person we coach, every single conversation is different. I think it's Claire Norman that says every time you speak with someone, they've changed. So since the last coaching conversation, something's changed. So if we force ourselves to be slow, we're better able in the moment to do a quick little adjustment or actually hear something a bit better or just make sure that we can keep serving them. So the thing that I've taken from all this is it's worked so well when I've set some really, like, got really clear about what it is they really want. And I keep trying to bring what I keep calling now forced slowness for me as a coach.
I'm writing that down. Forced slowness. What a terrific phrase. Fantastic.
What about for you? Like, as you're hearing that, is there something, like, does that resonate for your own experience?
It does. And I just love the connection between a slower pace leading to more clarity, because ultimately, you know, if I'm trying to, you know, share with somebody, you know, what is coaching? What does a coach do? In a nutshell, you know, my favorite go-to phrase is I'm helping the other person get a bit of clarity around their thinking. So if I, and it's been helpful for you sharing that with us today, can intentionally slow down, and it's still a managed conversation. So we are, from that point of view, in the driving seat as far as managing the conversation goes, the structure of the conversation. And if we have that ability to intentionally slow down, then ultimately the win there is clarity for the coachee. So it's good to have that, I think, at the front of your mind. And I mean, I'm going to be coaching a couple of folks between now, and we're recording this now in December for the January Coach Ed update. I have a couple more sessions between now and the Christmas break. So that's going to be right in the forefront of my thinking. So I appreciate that.
And now, Richard, we get to do the thing where we swap now, don't we? So now I get to turn it on to the host. Everyone, I'm so excited. This Richard Reed, man, he is so good at hosting, and you've got this amazing skill at pulling out threads and noticing little things. So I've got to channel my best Richard Reed here. So when you think of goal setting, what have you noticed?
Oh, where do you start, Dan? Obviously, it's a huge topic. I mean, there are folks out there so better placed than me to comment on goal setting. I mean, they've written, you know, PhD thesis, books, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, I'm just going to draw on my own humble experience when it comes to goal setting. So I spend a lot of time coaching school principals. I would say 90% of my coaches would be a school principal, and I sat in the big black seat for many years myself. So I come into a coaching conversation with a principal, and it's a lovely privilege to sit down with another head, know that you've got an hour of a window that you've booked in to have a coaching conversation. And you mentioned the growth framework, Dan, at the start, and we have that structure So we're thinking about, you know, setting out with a goal. In an ideal world, your principal is sitting down in front of you and he or she has had a little bit of time to maybe think through what the goal might be for the conversation. And we would talk about that in the training, and that's very helpful. And we have a few go-to ideas for our goals. What I find, Dan, in reality, and I can relate to this as a former principal myself, when I arrive in to sit down in that conversation with a principal, they usually can just about remember their name, just the madness of the job. Could have been an issue with a parent that morning. They've maybe just got their budget through and they've looked at the bottom line and thought, what am I going to do with that, etc., etc. The job's very busy, it's very intense, it's ever-changing. So the idea of having spent a bit of time thinking through a goal specifically usually is unlikely. So they arrive into the conversation with me, and I have found initially way back years ago, I was determined we were going to start with a goal. And I quickly realised sometimes these folks just need a little bit of time in the reality section. So on occasions, I have found that essentially reading the room, reading the person that I'm speaking to, and at that contracting stage at the very, very start, saying, look, how do you feel about starting with the reality? Just tell me about your day. Tell me about your week. And I will start to notice little things about whether they're good form, bad form, uptight, etc., etc. And I just open up the question, how are things going? And it's been amazing, Dan, over the years, that usually fairly quickly into that hour session, just by opening up the reality, up to the surface quite quickly will come the most pertinent things. And essentially what we will do then is we will look at what's going well, you know, we'll look at the strengths, we'll get started off on a very positive note, and then we will narrow it down to one of the things that has risen up to the surface with their permission, they choose. And at that point, maybe 10, 15, sometimes 20, 25 minutes into that hour, we start to think around a goal for that conversation. Now, I believe that even 25 minutes into that conversation, we haven't mentioned a goal yet. The coachee is still getting a lot of value out of that session because he or she's unpacking what's going on in their head at the potentially tail end of a very busy, mad day, mad week. We're now at the end of the term. So I just think at times, not all the time, but at times, having that presence of mind to say, listen, with your permission, let's start with the reality. So that's something that I've noticed recently.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing you talk about that, because that Christian Van Nieuwenberg in the book Advanced Coaching Practice. So I think that's the title of the book. Talks about the different tensions.
Yeah.
So with you listening, based on what you said, there's that tension that you spot as the coach, which is you've got your process. So if it was in a perfect world, they'd come in and say, "This is my goal. I've got this." However, most of the time people tell us about their reality, but Argouth doesn't sound as nice as growth.
No. Very true.
Yeah. Argouth. Maybe not as sticky. John Campbell was onto it, I think.
Yeah.
So you notice that the thing that you've noticed in order to set up for really helpful goal setting is to give them the opportunity to just talk through current reality, what they're facing. And are you noticing yourself, are you very aware of you dialing up the listening component? So are you trying to spot and notice certain themes or words? What is it that you're listening for to help you move from the reality to the goal setting?
It's more an opportunity for the coachee, for the head, to think out loud. So whilst I'm listening for everything that's being said, I'm actually encouraging the head, the principal, to listen to themselves. And it's amazing how quickly they'll start to go, do you know what? Actually, that's probably the most important thing, right? Now that I think of it, that's probably the most important thing. I'll say, okay, so tell me more about that. And that starts to get us narrowing in towards a goal. So it's given the other person permission just to talk and think out loud at the very start. Knowing that there's no ceiling, you know, there's no boundaries here, just what's the reality? What's going on at the moment? I find in most cases, not every time, but in most cases, that has just been helpful to other folks.
Well, it's interesting because I know you said goal setting's really broad. And based on what you've been talking about, there's sort of a couple of things under there that I've noticed, which is you said contracting, but it almost sounds like you're getting clear about the goals of coaching before you even move into, say, the goal setting part of the conversation. And then it sounds like for you, there's a goal also about you building rapport and spending time in the reality before you move into goal setting.
Yeah.
So you and I, we've never met in person, which is very strange. But the thing I've already noticed about you with all of our online chats that we've always had is you're so great with rapport. And at the start, you said you really focus on building rapport with the person. For the listener that's there strolling right now, or they're sitting, or they're driving in the car, what are your most helpful tips for building rapport with a coachee that maybe you haven't worked with before, so that you can set up some powerful goal setting down the track?
Yeah. My favorite go-to phrase stroke question is, tell me a bit more about that. I just think that's golden every single time. So no matter who it is, no matter what principal they're, maybe a first-time principal, they've maybe been principal for 25 years, no matter what they're sharing as far as the reality goes, picking up on little things, you mentioned X, Y, and Z. Tell me a bit more about that. And I think that's just a really lovely way to show that you're invested in them. Because most people they're talking to, it's a ping pong match. It's back, forward, back, forward, back, forward. And there's a time and a place for that. Sometimes we need to. But it's a lovely gift to give somebody else the opportunity. You talked about slowing down, which is why that resonated so much for me. Slow down, get clear. You know, we're on the same page there, Dan, in many ways. So the opportunity to simply say, tell me a bit more about that. That sounds interesting. You mentioned such, tell me a bit more about that. And you can actually see at times a very tense person start to actually relax, you know, and where you give them that opportunity to slow down. They won't have slowed down all week. They won't have had a chance to slow down all week, apart from being asleep. That's the only time they've slowed down, until they come and chat to you or to me as a coach. So it's those little things. It's giving them the opportunity to slow down themselves, and you're being very clear, I am here to encourage you to slow down. You can actually articulate to folks, you know, this is not a rush. This is not a race. We've got time. Tell me a bit more about that. And you can see people settle in.
We've got a coach in our team who says something that he often says to principals, not all the time, but so senior leaders. He says, I'll often say to them, I might be the only person that you speak to today that doesn't actually want something from. I'm here for you. I'm not coming to get something from you, because so often there's that reactive nature. So it's that way of trying to help them slow down and be able to connect. And I can hear that from what you're saying. So let's go to the why does it matter. You've briefly already, well, not briefly, you've actually spoken quite a bit about the power of rapport, about the power of them processing, being able to, and for anyone that isn't watching, when Richard did the breath, like your shoulders dropped down. We've all seen that, right? When we're working with a principal or a head or an assistant principal or a middle leader, they take that moment. Why do you think that matters in that moment, that they actually get to the shoulders relax, they get to process? What's the impact that you've seen?
I think it comes down to the time that the principal has is precious. Every single second is precious in the school day. So at the moment, Dan, I'm going into schools at the moment almost every day, having coaching conversations. You hear kids practicing the nativity songs when you come in, you know, the corridor. There's open days happening at the moment in our schools over here. So there's pressure in what are the numbers going to be like for next year. There's any number of things happening that as a principal you need to be on top of every second of the day. So when it comes to a coaching conversation that a principal has said yes to, he or she has said no to a host of other things for that hour. So they've decided intentionally to put the nativity to the side. The open day prospectus, which is hopefully coming in the post, and they're wondering, has it arrived yet, and so on and so forth. All of these things, they've intentionally set those things to the side. So there's, in many ways, huge pressure on me, and that's why I'm there, to make the most of their time. So if I can muster all of my coaching skills or experience or whatever it might be, rapport, to try and help them settle into an impactful conversation, then I think that's golden. So I'm there to make the absolute most of that 1 hour. If it's an hour that we've signed up to do, it might be half an hour. In fact, I was in today and one principal realised she was on school duty in the canteen and we had to pull back 15 minutes. That's fine. So I said, listen, we will make the most of the time that we have. And I think it's also good to get that across to the head. You know, you said yourself, I'm here for you. And you need to convey that. So that is why it matters. We're trying to convey to the principal, you matter. And I'm here to create this window of time where you feel like the most important person in the room to allow you to do your best thinking.
I think the research came from, it was more around therapeutic research, and Christian talks about it in his book, Introduction to Coaching Skills, but about that idea of the biggest indicator normally of it being a positive outcome is relationship between the people.
Yeah.
You know, above techniques, tools, frameworks, that sort of thing. So spending the time with the rapport. I'm not saying we're counsellors. I'm definitely not saying we're counsellors.
No,
therapists.
No.
We're not that. But there's some interesting work from that regardless, when it comes down to those conversational areas or the work that we're doing with helping people, yeah, relationship matters.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, what's become, as you've said all this, you know, we did that classic coaching thing. We went really big and then now we've zoomed in on some small things. So what's become clearer for you from this chat?
I just think that first 2-3 minutes of a coaching conversation is absolutely vital. And I think for me, being able to, and we should be doing this all the time, being able to dial down the noise in my own head at the start. And sometimes that noise is things going on in your own life. You know, we're all busy people as coaches. So yes, we dial down the noise in our own head, but sometimes the noise can actually be, the source of the noise can be, I've got to get through X, Y, and Z in this coaching conversation. And I think, come back to you, I love your phrase, you know, what is the actual goal of coaching? I mean, ultimately, Dan, if I go into a room with a school principal and all I do is listen for 1 hour solid, ask a couple of questions, tell me more about, I think that's invaluable time for the principal. You know, we might not actually have had a specific goal. Now, ultimately, we want to create a goal. We want to see action on all those normal things. But what is the ultimate goal of coaching? It's creating an opportunity for another person, in this case a school principal, to have protected time to do his or her best thinking. So it's vital for those first 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes of that hour for me as a coach to be really, really disciplined in many ways. And it just ties in with your insights so well. Go slow in order to get some clarity. So I think those two have connected together really well.
Yeah, I think it's always so helpful as you talk about this sort of work and you go into dialogue, isn't it? Because we're actually trying to bounce ideas around to create some sort of new meaning. And for me, I think it reiterates the power of when we look at a framework like growth, the G can be sitting there or the R, because we know normally it's either someone might start with what's wanted or the reality, but there's the whole remaining part of the framework. So sometimes we can feel like you just have to move on because there's the rest of the framework to get to. But there's that power. For me, it's just reiterated the power of just sit and play in that space, like have the time for that, as you said, because they're privileging that hour or that time with you. So help them get really clear on that. And then that just leads to some really great things that are really personalized and helpful for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But bottom line is, you know, if we rush the start, we're not going to have any chance of doing the rest of the framework effectively. You know, we need to start strong by, as you say, Dan, going slow and getting a bit of clarity at the start. Sometimes that will be a clear goal straight away. Terrific. If it's written out in a bit of paper and the head's really clear, I've thought about this, and that this does happen. But other times they're thinking, who am I? What's my name? I can't remember. Oh, we're having a session. Come on in. Then we need to think about, well, what's the reality? And we can get to the goal, not in the back door, but just in a slightly different route. But we do get there. And then once we've got built that rapport we've got round to what the goal might actually be, we can actually settle into the rest of the proper framework and have half a chance of getting to the end, having some sensible, good, solid action points, and then seeing progress for the other individual.
Yeah, which is what it ultimately comes down to. So, but I'm interested, it'll be really interesting now to, I guess, the people listening, isn't it? Like, what's worked well for them? What's now becoming clearer for them as they're hearing these different insights? You know, where you were so wonderful with sharing your humble, you said, just in my humble experience, which I think is amazing. You're so experienced. But yeah, I'm fascinated to hear from people listening or as they're watching this, sort of what works for them or what they've noticed.
Yeah. As we progress with this, Dan, and this has been a lovely initial episode, as we progress with this, we can look into how we ask the folks who are listening, the folks who are watching, to give them an opportunity to interact in some shape or form or comment, you know, whatever way that might be. We will look into that. If you were to pick one thing then, Dan, from this session that you think one key takeaway, and then I'll share one before we close, what would be your one key takeaway?
One key takeaway is slow yourself down so then you can have a really powerful conversation. So remember to just slow yourself down.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to add to that just nicely, and I'm going to use your words with your permission, Dan. We're going to 2026, January 2026, as we head into a new calendar year, we're going to encourage forced slowness. So I'm going to keep that, you know, to the front of my mind when I move into the next number of coaching sessions into the new year, forced slowness. Folks, thank you so much for joining us on what is now our very first Coach Ed conversation. We trust you have benefited from us, Dan and I, sharing some of our insights and some of our learning on the topic of goal setting. I know we're only scratching the surface, but if you would like to find out maybe a bit more about whether it's goal setting or indeed coaching in general, we know some folks are listening here, maybe only dipping their toe in the water, please do check out our website, growthcoaching.com.au, for much, much more. And Dan and I will look forward to joining you all on our next episode of Coach Ed Conversations. So keep questioning, keep learning, and keep coaching.